Time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, here's Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. And as it is the 3 o'clock hour, we are talking about money. And I can think of no better guest than Pennsylvania Congresswoman Summer Lee to talk about what I think is one of the most groundbreaking pieces of legislation that I have ever seen in my 47 years on this planet. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Representative Lee. She was born and raised in the Mon Valley of Pennsylvania. She's been a community organizer. She's an attorney. She went to Penn State, go Nittany Lions, and Howard University School of Law, where she focused on civil rights and social justice advocacy. She's been a labor organizer working for the Fight to 15 to increase the minimum wage. And in 2018, she won a seat in the Pennsylvania State House of Representatives. But she's parlayed that into becoming the first Black woman from Western Pennsylvania ever elected to Congress. So first, Representative Lee, my congratulations for that accomplishment. And secondly, my congratulations on this incredible piece of legislation that you brought to the floor and introduced last week.
Oh, thank you. And listen, Maggie, when you say that you could think of no one better, I can. I just want to start by saying that. I can definitely think of better folks to be here. But we're really lucky to have had good folks around us to help us to work on this. People who have been in this particular struggle, in this particular fight for income equality and so much more, way longer than me, but I'm grateful to be in the position now.
Well, you happen to be the one to bring this legislation forward. And when we think about social justice, right, in my head, that always equates to economic justice. We cannot have social justice without true economic choice. For some context here, people, before we get into these particular policy proposals in the American Sustainability Act, let's just check where we are today. Since the 1970s, productivity and worker compensation wages have basically gone in opposite directions. Workers are so much more productive than they have been. And yet wages have effectively stagnated or gone down on a real dollar basis. This means that the benefits of our economy, the benefits of your hard work, aren't coming into your family's pocketbook. They're going to the upper 1% of the richest and wealthiest Americans. It's even worse when we look at the 0.01%, the really, really wealthy. Again, more than 40% of working Americans make less than the median cost of living for a single adult with no children. More than 40%, that's incredible. And it's even more heartbreaking to think more than 70% of Americans make less than the median cost of living for one adult and one child. The economy is not working for the middle class. That feeling that you might be getting screwed, yep, you're not inventing that. That's a real feeling. That is legitimate. And what I find so incredibly powerful about this American Stability Act that you've put forward, Representative Lee, is that it addresses both tax policy and wage reforms. So I want to hand it to you to start telling people about these fundamental policy approaches that as soon as I started reading them, I went, of course we should be doing that.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's this idea that for so long, Americans have felt like they don't even have a chance. Right? We don't have a chance to compete. When we think about the inequality gap, the wealth inequality gap is not anywhere close to shrinking. And this is something that has been persistent in and out of administrations, in and out of the volley between parties. It is an American staple. And so many people have grown almost just accustomed to it, right? Accustomed to this idea that there are some people who are just bound to be incredibly wealthy, and there are some people who are bound to be working from paycheck to paycheck. And the reason why it was so important that we approach it this way is, first of all, it's because of my lived experience. When I was on the Fight for 15, right, it was a brief time because it was quick before I realized that we were not going to organize our way out of this type of just income stagnation, out of this type of just tax issues, one McDonald's, one Wendy's at a time. And that was literally what I was doing, right? I'm going from Wendy's to McDonald's to, you know, Burger King. And I'm trying to convince, you know, folks who are being screwed in their wages by multi-billion dollar corporations that they are worthy of 15. This is back in 2017, that they were worthy of 15. So what the American Stability Act is attempting to do, right, is a transformative package of legislation that doesn't just address the need for an urgent raising of the wage. It also has to increase the ways in which the amount we make, and then the level of, you know, our living expenses, our cost of living, all so many programs that we need. How is it always falling behind no matter what happens, right? So that's the first piece, right? We want to make sure that we're raising the wage immediately, that we are, you know, not just tying it to the rate of inflation, right? But we are making sure that it is to the rate of a living wage, right? So that is the first thing it does. The second thing is that tax piece, that tax reform piece, making sure that we're shifting the burden from the folks who are working class, middle class in this country, to the people who you mentioned, right? Not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen and experienced so many benefits in this rigged system. And we have to start to unrig it.
I just want to make a couple points of emphasis about what you're talking about, Representative Lee. The first thing that I noted was we need to stop calling this a minimum wage, because some baked into that is this valuing or this idea that you should pay your workers the very least that you can get away with.
Yeah.
When corporations and business owners, you don't put those shekels in your pocket without your workers. They need to eat at that same table you do. If you're getting fat, your workers get fat along with you. That is the way the social contract in capitalism is designed to work. So the legislation, its very namesake, is that we're going to move away from this concept of a minimum wage to a stability wage, immediately raise that wage floor to $20 an hour, and then index that to either annual inflation or the increase in the average wage for all workers in a given region or in the United States, whichever is higher. Mm-hmm. This effectively would ensure that we all get fat if our business owners are getting fat. And I mean that, in a really positive way. The idea of a stability wage. Thank goodness. It is not a good thing to try to nickel and dime and get the very most by paying the very least to your workers. I've never understood that point.
It's incredibly counterintuitive and it's counterproductive. Yes. But the reality is that that's not a secret. We recognize that. It's so demoralizing for American workers, right, who do grind it out. You know, we often talk about a 40-hour work week, right? But we know people who are working well above a 40-hour work week. But what they see and what they find is that particularly those who live in areas where the cost of living is incredibly high, right, that they're still increasingly being priced out of housing, that they're increasingly being priced out of the areas that they called home, areas where they work, right, or where, you know, they go to school or university, right? And when we're thinking about that, the long-term effects of that, right, of people who cannot afford to live in the communities that they work in, people who can consistently show up for work and they watch their bosses get wealthier and wealthier while they can't afford basic living expenses like their food, you know, like transportation. That is a fundamental problem that we have in the American economy. And it's not one, like you said, that we're going to be able to nickel or dime our way out. Recognizing, we say often, right, that a high tide lifts all ships. But we refuse to apply it to workers.
And I wanted to make this point also clear. When we talk about the stability wage, it is the way that in my economist brain, I always thought we should do it, is we know how much it costs to live in a given region. You put that basket of goods that we need together to live, a roof over our heads, food on the table, medical care, transportation, again, all of those costs, and you back it out, assume a 50-hour work week, because even that, I think, is low for what some people are working. Yes. And you can actually derive an hourly wage that is a stability wage. Folks, I am joined by Representative Summer Lee of the 12th District of Pennsylvania. She is a congresswoman helping to reshape the American economy to get back to serving the American middle class. and to make sure that the wealthiest pay their fair share. Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about a couple of these specific tax policy provisions, because the first one that blew my mind was the cost of living exemption. Explain it to folks.
Certainly. So when we think about who, and when we think about our tax brackets, right, that's kind of where that comes in. Everybody kind of knows the vague idea of a tax bracket. And the people who worry most about tax brackets are people who are making less, right, than a particular amount, right? It's not millionaires who worry about a tax bracket. In fact, once they get to a certain, you know, income, they're not worried about a tax bracket at all. So what we're thinking about is like a living wage at this point is largely calculated at being about $40,000 a year, right? We can argue that, but the indicators, calculators,
give or take.
That's give or take, but that's what they're saying. And they're taking into account, right, basic living expenses, things of that nature, right? What we're saying is that people who do not reach that threshold or up until that threshold should not shoulder a tax burden, right? So they should be exempt from those sorts of, so from that sort of taxing, right? But what we're also saying on the back end, right, and this is the part where we're shifting it, right, is that folks who make over $1 million, for instance, we would apply a 3% surtax. If you make over, I think, 15 million within our bill, you know, it would be an additional 5%. Because the reality is that folks who are making up to the living wage, are still being drowned out by a tax burden. Whereas people who make a certain amount at that point, they're not getting any higher amounts. And that's where we want to tackle that piece right there.
I cannot wait to dig into this more. We're going to explain all of those pieces of this new American Sustainability Act again, because they are revolutionary and yet so common sense. I'm joined by Representative Summer Lee here in this day's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Civic Media Radio Network and the Patriotic Millionaires. We're going to dig in more to this cost of living exemption, because I don't want anyone to miss the power and the simplicity of what that exemption means for middle-class Americans, especially if you feel like you're struggling paycheck to paycheck and cannot get ahead. We're going to be back with more after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.